from 753 BC Roman Kingdom to 509 BC Roman Republic to 27 BC Roman Empire. A legend says Rome was established by the demigod brothers, Romulus and Remus, on April 21, 753 BC. The brothers argued over control of the city, but it was quickly settled when Romulus killed Remus. Betwixt the 8th and 6th centuries BC, Rome developed into a major commercial power.
In 509 BC, the last of seven kings was deposed and Rome became a republic.
The republic lasted until 27 BC, at which time it became an empire headed by Augustus.
43 AD to 409 AD, Rome controls England, Roman civil law, Senate. For almost 400 years, Rome imposed the civil law on its English subjects, civilians who became civilized.
Power was distributed from top to bottom. The system consisted of a legislature that created laws, a praetor that administered the laws, and often created his own laws, and the citizens. The praetor was somewhat like a county sheriff who administered the laws while standing between the powers that be and the subjects. 400s to 700s. Barbarians control England, divine right of kings. During the waning days of Rome, the barbarians were allowed to immigrate and occupy government offices. Eventually, the barbarians and the Roman military overcame the Roman structure and imposed their own system. However, there were not enough barbarians to fill the offices, so they had to utilize the existing personnel to administer the vast Roman Empire. Implementation of the law of the barbarians was effectively filtered through administrators trained in the Roman law. The result was somewhat a mixture in effect. The barbarians introduced the concept of divine right of kings.
The king was the first visible source of God's law.
Power flowed from the king. It was not possible for the king to break the law.
If the king acted contrary to the law, it just meant for that moment that the king changed the law.
793 AD to 1055 AD, Vikings, Norsemen, control England. Common law, the law of the people.
The Vikings brought to England the concept that power flowed from the people to the king.
The king was subject to a jury of Vikings. There were even fewer Vikings than there were barbarians. The existing administrative structure became an imperfect mixture of the three systems of law: 1. Roman civil law, 2. Divine right of kings, and 3. Common law.
1056 AD to 1216 AD, emergence of British culture and Magna Carta. The next 160 years saw a great refinement of the legal system.
One of the most important developments was the habeas corpus, which originated in 1166 with the Assize of Clarendon. The divine right of kings became the dominant philosophy. With the increase of royal power came the increase of royal abuse. The seventh British king, King John, pushed too hard and the nobility rebelled. The nobility had enough of King John's private wars, taxes, and conscription of their personnel.
On June 15, 1215, some noblemen cornered King John by the Thames River at Runnymede and promised him that they would not cut his head off if he signed the Magna Carta.
He signed it. Later, the noblemen secured the blessing of Pope Innocent III.
Neither the king nor the pope intended to honor the document, but they were too politically weak to not honor it.
As Providence would have it, by the end of 1216, both the king and the pope died. The new king and pope were not politically well established. The nobility immediately had the king and pope recertify and bless the Magna Carta, and every British monarch has done so since.
The Magna Carta radically changed the power structure.
The Viking philosophy was tentatively reinstated, the king became subject to the grand jury of 25. Still, the road to freedom was rocky.
1010 AD to 1297 AD, Confirmatio Carterum.
81 years after the Magna Carta, it became apparent that an adjustment was necessary. On October 10, 1297, King Edward signed the Confirmatio Carterum. It locked in the Magna Carta as the common law upon demand by a defendant. In those days, a plaintiff would go to the law court and sue with or without a jury, only for money as compensation for his loss. There was no way in a law court to stop the city from bulldozing his house. If a non-monetary remedy was needed, he would make a motion for a writ, now no longer required, to allow him to take his case to the king. The king, being very busy, would authorize his right-hand man, the chancellor, to hear the case. The chancellor was busy, too. So he would delegate the case to the court of chancery. The chancellor and his minions had all the same divine right of king's authority as the king himself, except on appeal the king could override the chancellor's decision. Because the king or chancellor was making new law tailored to the situation, there was no right to a jury as with a law court. 1776 AD, American Revolution. It's a known fact, historically, governments continuously grow until they consume their own citizens. On average, they last about 200 years. Many notable persons such as Benjamin Franklin tried to stop that pattern for the colonies. But King George would hear none of it. The inevitable happened. Americans rejected British rule first with the Continental Association, then with the Declaration of Independence. In retaliation, King George canceled all the charters. For the initial years, America, with no legal structure, was run by common law grand juries. Following the Declaration of Independence were the Articles of Confederation, the Northwest Ordinance, and the Constitution for the United States of America. President Abraham Lincoln, an attorney, considered each of the last four documents as a concurrent constitution for the USA. American law. In 1776, the USA continued with the common law of England. After that, we made some significant changes, which seriously denigrated the system. First, a chancery equity court was procedurally combined with a law court. So far as the Constitution is concerned, they are still theoretically separate. But, by physically combining the two courts under one judge, it made it easier for judges to control the outcome of cases, which in turn leads to greater corruption. Litigants and their attorneys no longer have a clear perception of when they are at law and when they are in equity. Here's a hint: statutes and codes are not law, they are equity rules which the judge can enforce, can modify, or can suspend. The only real law is the common law, that is, the unwritten custom and usage of the people, which the judge may not affect. For example, see U.S. Constitution, Amendment 7. The 1789 Constitution introduced the ancient concept of a republic. So, how does this all work? You recall that America inherited three systems of law: 1. Roman civil law, 2. Divine right of kings, and 3. Common law. The people live by custom and usage. Common law. Ask anyone, have you ever read any of the laws? Of course he hasn't, unless he's an attorney. People live by their basic sense of right and wrong, not because they read a rule somewhere. The legislature and the executive branches operate by statutes and codes, Roman civil law. The courts operate in one of two modes, law and equity. The only law court is a court of record which proceeds in accordance with common law procedure. The judge has no authority to exercise any discretion. His job is to administer the common law and the laws of the sovereign. In a sense, one could say he is the highest clerk in the court. All other courts, regardless of name, are equity courts. In the absence of the sovereign power, the judge acts as if he were sovereign, invoking the divine right of kings, subject only to appeal to the sovereign. The judge has unlimited discretion to apply the statutes and codes, change them, suspend them, and make up his own rules. When a case is filed, unless your paper is written otherwise, the presumption is that you are proceeding according to equity rules, i.e. statutes, codes, regulations, and rules of court, but not common law.